The following program is intended for mature audiences.
What do you say we have a rock and roll party?
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
If there's ever a rift and I decide to start a rival podcast, I'm going to call it Sports, Basically.
Ah!
Sports, comma, Basically.
The litigation team will be in touch with you the next day with a cease and desist letter for copyright infringement.
Hey. No, it's not.
Sure it is.
Well, Basically a Sports Show is not the same as Sports, Basically, or the Sports Basically Show.
Oh, excuse me, I forgot. Hold on.
What would be my acronym? TS.
TSBS.
TSBS.
The Sports Basically
Welcome
Show, right?
Welcome to TSBS.
Legally distinct from Basically a Sports Show.
I'll use gorilla noise instead of chimp.
Alberta!
I should go out and dig up some more cities from him. I've only got that one. There's a whole thing out there. It's called
Paul Stanley soundboard.
No, it's not a soundboard. It's like a 20-minute YouTube clip of nothing but Paul Stanley stage banner, which is where I got most of that stuff from. Like Toronto and then his screams and I don't know. I don't even know how little Paul Stanley got involved in all of this, to be honest. He just showed up one day and here he is. Here we are.
Oh, excuse me.
Many years later.
I mean, that's just how Kiss is, right? They just make stuff and it shows up.
Right. Most of it doesn't make sense.
Bad news on the television.
I'm surprised we haven't had to write a great big check for using Paul's voice in this. I should get some Gene clips. Now, those would be funny.
No. Yeah, all the money that we've raked in from this podcast, they need
to You know, speaking of that, though, I looked into it. We can have advertisers if you guys want. We could make around $400 for the year. So,
how does that break three ways?
$133.33
for a year's work. Not bad. In
before
1707.
Tax.
Before tax, I don't think that would be an interesting discussion with the H&R Block lady.
If we were doing this podcast, say 300 years ago, that'd be really good money. Speaking of which, our 5-year anniversary is coming up here. At the start of this next NFL season.
Right.
Yeah.
Should we got anything to mark the occasion?
Well, I've thought about going back through all the episodes and trying to find...
Go way back to the very beginning.
That can't be right.
Why?
Because we just had the 5th tournament of victory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started in 2012, so September of 2017 will be 5 years. And we had a 2012 GTOV, 13, 14, 15, 16...
See... As an NHL fan, I always get confused as to how they mark anniversaries because it's do you want to do it, this is our 5th season, but it will be coming up on the 5th anniversary.
But anyway, I thought about going back through and digging through all the old episodes and trying to find a little bit to play from each one and putting together 5 years of basically a sports show. Unless you guys want to sit down and do like a whole interview thing where we go and remember back when and this, that, and the other thing happened and blah, 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 except that I don't remember any of that stuff.
Do it. This is your life. And
yeah. But if somebody said, what's the best episode of the show you've ever done? I have no idea. Do any of them stick out to you guys? Because none of them do to me.
Honestly, like I'll record the show and then I'll see my girlfriend like the next day or later. And she'll be like, well, so what'd you guys talk about? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Sports.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about, what happened this last week? We talked about the playoffs and I can't remember. This show goes in and out of my head as soon as we do it.
Yeah, I hope it does a little bit better with the listeners than it does with us.
Well,
people seem to like it, I guess. So
people like it, and they seem to remember it better than us because they'll bring up stuff, and I won't think about it, but it's like, oh yeah, that's a thing.
If somebody said to me, okay, highlights of the 5 years, I would think of the Lounge Report shows.
Yeah.
Because those are completely different, they stand out, and they're basically a Star Wars holiday special.
I guess the only regular episode that stands out to me is when we did the Fixing the NBA thread. And this was way back when Andy was still a regular, but it was like fixing the NBA, and it was like contract Charlotte because why? I honestly forget most of it, but I remember the discussion, but I don't really remember the contents of it as such.
Well, it's like Zach said, someone will bring up something that we said, not from 3 or 4 months ago, but say from last week's show. They'll say, Greg, you said this, and I'll think, I did? Then I go back, and turns out, yeah, I actually did. So, I don't know. We've done a lot of these. This is number 367.
Woo!
Yeah, which I think actually comes out to, we reset at number 200 when Andy left. So we had done 49 with Andy, and then we've done 167. This will be without him. Plus the few specials in there, which are 4 or 5 separate shows that don't count in the continuity of the show.
Another one, although like I guess it was kind of a special because it was kind of a unique format, was when we did the World Cup, and I remember...
Oh, that was a good one.
Zach was asking me about like historical facts of each country, and then I got to Ghana and I had nothing.
Yeah, that was a good one though. That was a good show. I remember because I played game show music throughout the whole thing.
Learning about the countries of the world.
And somebody commented that they liked the game show stuff, and that's what I remember about that one. Andy did a thing when we were still doing that closing shot thing that we did way back at the beginning. Do you guys remember that? Where we'd all have our little Andy did one about the NFL that I just thought was hysterical, where he talked about each player would be given $100,000 at the draft combine to see how he spent it over the weekend or something. It was really, really funny. That's the only one that really sticks out in my mind. We could go down this rabbit hole forever. So what do we actually want to talk about that's relevant to anybody besides us this week?
That's topical. The NBA did finish.
And it ended as we all kind of expected it would.
Yep.
Yeah. It was tight for like a quarter and a half, if I remember. The Warriors pulled away. Durant, your finals MVP.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He really played well. I just found the whole thing to be completely underwhelming. Simple as that. No other way to put it.
Like I said when we were talking about it last week, like the only thing that would have gotten me back to actually watch the games was possibly going to a game 7. Otherwise, it's like if the Warriors won, okay. And then when they won, it wasn't like I saw a whole bunch of celebrations on social media or anything like that. It's like, yeah, we won. It was just kind of like, the Warriors won.
Yeah, well, I was kind of expected all the way along. The only team that really even had a shot at beating them was the Cavs. And once we saw them, I think you could see it even in the regular season. I know they played each other twice. I know the Christmas Day game, the Cavs just got their asses handed to them. And I think they lost the second one, too. And you kind of knew even then that the Cavs just didn't have anything for the Warriors. The drop-off between 1 and 2 is pretty significant, more than I've ever seen, really, in my years of following the NBA, where one team was just that much better than everybody else.
And now, on the heels of that, too, Paul George comes out and tells the Pacers, I'm not going to re-sign with you, and he's either going to be with the Cavaliers or the Lakers. The NBA wheel keeps spinning, as it does. Nothing's going to knock it off its axis anytime soon.
But I go back to what I said a few weeks ago. See, there's another reason why. Why would you bother being a Memphis Grizzlies fan? Paul George is a good player. He could help out a lot of teams, really every team. And you already know, as a Grizzlies fan or whatever they're calling the team in Charlotte these days, or the Mavericks or the Rockets, Blazers, any of those guys, you've got no shot of getting him. You already know that. So what's the point? They need to fix it. No. I don't know what you do, but something has to be done, because I even read an article in Sports Illustrated where they were talking about this isn't good for the game. This isn't the same as Lakers, Celtics in the 80s good. That was really great for basketball, but this is a completely different thing.
I think I saw the argument that I didn't think about it at the time, but looking back, I kind of wish it had played out this way, that basically Silver should have pulled a best interest of the game move and blocked Durant from going to the Warriors.
That's different than when they did that for Chris Paul to the Lakers. Because this is a free agent. How are you going to tell a player?
That's true.
That's the free market of the NBA.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know the specifics of the collective bargaining agreement. The fact that it was put forth as a possibility has me thinking maybe the NBA commissioner actually might have that power in the event of a free agent signing. I admit I don't know. But assuming that he had the power to do it, looking back in retrospect, he probably should have.
But had he done it, it would have been tied up with lawsuits left and right until the end of time.
It would have been the single most controversial thing a commissioner has ever done.
Yes.
Like, I think people kind of sweep the Chris Paul thing under the rug at times because the Lakers did end up winning championships still. Was that after they had won?
That was after they had won. Yeah,
that was after they had won with Powell.
Chris Paul was going
to be in Houston, I think, at the end of that trade.
With the Chris Paul thing, that was pretty much what turned the Clippers into, okay, maybe they're not going to be so Clippery anymore, which it kind of worked. Right. They're still definitely the Clippers, but they're better than they used to be.
Yeah, again, though, that one's still different just because
it was a trade.
A commissioner stopping something between two teams, not a free agent and a team. So, and they made their own bed by screwing up the salary cap, too.
Yeah.
Because the salary cap took that weird jump like a couple of years ago that provided all this extra space. It was just all this.
Wasn't it a combination? Wasn't it a combination of that weird jump and the fact that Steph Curry had to take a lesser deal a few years back because of an injury? And like those two.
Lesser deal. They got all this big TV contract money. Kevin Durant happened to be coming off at the right time. And it just allowed them to be able to do it right then and there. Like,
really, I think too. Yeah, that's a good point to bring up with this Warriors team is that a lot of the stuff, things fell into place the right way for them to be able to become this dominant. It wasn't simply a matter of, because I think we talked about it a few weeks back. They're going to have to pay these guys eventually. I'm sure Steph Curry's not got the deal that he's going to end up with at this point. And you know, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, all those guys are going to have to get paid. And when that happens, then you're going to get what we kind of saw to a lesser extent with the Seahawks, where all, you know, budding dynasty all of a sudden isn't so much anymore because we can't afford to keep everybody. This might have just been a confluence of events that we may never see again. Who knows?
And in the NFL, that stuff falls apart pretty quickly. But I think that they still have maybe three more years of having this exact group together.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody brought up that in terms of the parity of the league and all that sort of stuff, in terms of the number of teams that made the finals over a 10-year stretch, the 80s were actually worse than right now.
Oh, definitely. Because
you had the Lakers or the Celtics in every single final for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was only five teams total that played in the finals over that 10-year stretch.
I want to see a return to the 70s where all the miscellaneous teams get at least one.
Right.
Well, right. And we thought that's what it was going to be with, you know, the Mavericks won and now the Warriors won. It was like, okay, well, maybe we can throw some of this in here. But now the Warriors are becoming just like every other NBA, great NBA team of all time.
And a big difference between that, the 80s Lakers and Celtics thing was that there were teams there in that stretch that could beat those guys. And it happened a couple times. The Rockets knocked off the Lakers twice during that run. And Philly got through, I think, a couple times to the finals past Boston. But, you know, the Pistons were a rising team, and you had Dominique Wilkins and the Hawks. No one sees that with this current setup with the Cavs and the Warriors. It's them and everybody else. And really,
well, because the other thing with that, too, is like you look at LeBron in particular. Yeah, there's been different teams, but he has been to the finals eight consecutive times.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that. I saw a thing. He's 3-5 in the finals now. And of course, you're going to get both sides of the argument. Do you guys think that because he's 3-5 in the finals, that diminishes his so-called legacy in any way? I think you got to get there to lose him myself.
No, I don't think so. He got two with the super team in Miami. He got one, you know, with his hometown team, the team that drafted him. So, like, I think his legacy's set. I think LeBron's legacy is set insofar as being one of the greatest of all time. Like, yeah. I don't think that's going to change. If you're going to argue that he is the greatest of all time, that's probably where the whole legacy thing hurts him.
Well, see, I don't think I would even make the argument that he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah. Well, some people are though. And that's kind of, I think, where his legacy, if you want to say it's in jeopardy, but again, like you, I wouldn't even make the claim, but I think insofar as him being one of the greatest of all time and the best of his generation, I think he's fine.
Definitely.
Yeah, fine. Well, and that's kind of the same argument that people use for years of Tom Brady versus Joe Montana. Well, Joe Montana's perfect in Super Bowls. Well, Tom Brady's been to more of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a worse record
To be fair, he probably should have at least one more Super Bowl title if, you know, David Tyree doesn't you know, pull off nonsense.
By that logic, he could have one less title if Julian Edelman doesn't pull that catch out.
Yeah, so it all balanced out.
Or one less if I don't remember if that was the AFC title game or what, but that game where the Steelers made the shoestring tackle against the Colts. I don't remember how that
one,
but that could have been a difference too.
There's that one, and then there's the Russell Wilson goal line interception.
Right.
Right. And then there's, you know, go all the way back to the Tuck rule. Like there's plenty of margin for error.
I'm gonna say it again. I still contend they made that fucking rule up right on the spot. They just said we've got to find a way to keep the ball. Ah, Tuck rule, there you go.
The thing with LeBron though, when it comes to his finals record, he's gone up against superior teams.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of those years, well, at least the first time with the Cavs, and maybe not so much with the Heat, but I think both the Cavs years, you could argue this too. He's done a lot of the heavy lifting to pull these teams to the finals.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Warriors can spread it out a little bit. Like, you look at the Warriors this year. Like, did Michael Jordan, who's, 6-0 in finals, did Michael Jordan ever have to play against this version of the Golden State Warriors?
No.
Or team equivalent to it?
No.
The teams he beat, like, the Jazz teams he beat, okay, Karl Malone, John Stockton, great players, all-time players. I don't know. The Cavaliers that he had to beat that one year.
If you're talking about the year, the year of the shot, they didn't even make the finals that year. They just moved on to the conference finals. But they beat a Blazers team that had Clyde Drexler, and I don't remember who the other big name on that team was. But no, he never faced this kind of competition.
There was the Charles Barkley Suns team that he played.
Right. The Suns, the end of the Lakers.
But, you know, something that we talked about back earlier on in the playoffs with the NBA was with Michael Jordan, that if he had kept playing, they would have won 8 straight. But I read an interesting thing a couple days ago. I guess that the Bulls, against that particular Hakeem Olajuwon Rockets team, had a hell of a time with them. They were like 3-7 against that team in the regular season and just couldn't beat him. So we can't say for certain that the Rockets still wouldn't have won those titles had Michael been there. But it's just an interesting side note, I thought.
If he had played those teams and then you have that sort of team to kind of make a comparison against, then you can say 100%, he did it. But you can never – and all this is hypothetical too, because it's you're crossing different eras and different styles. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to ever – suck out.
I think it's a great illustration of what Mike said last week, that every game is a what if, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
All sports are what if, which is cool. That's what makes them fun.
I mean, and I think that's what a lot of us have to keep in mind when we have these sort of discussions, because as we just sort of demonstrated with the Tom Brady thing, I mean, you could go back to all, he's won 5, all 7 of his Super Bowls that he's played in. And in the ones he's won, you could say, oh, if it weren't for this thing, like he would have lost. And the ones he's lost, so if it weren't for this thing, he would have won. And it makes for good discussion. But at the same time, if you're going to be serious about doing that, essentially you're basically second guessing the results of every single game right. ever played. And then you don't know anything.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, in certain situations, like this year's finals, for example, with the NBA, I don't know. This isn't a what if.
No.
The Warriors were just demonstrably a better team than the Cavs.
Mm-hmm. No question about it.
No question. Like, maybe it's a different series if there's an injury. Well, of course. But when you have to judge these teams as healthy. And the other thing was, going into this, people kind of looked over the last 2 years and it said, well, there's what if this and injuries and people weren't 100% and yada yada. This year, everybody was pretty much healthy, right? I can't think of any important injury for either team.
Nothing serious that I can remember, no.
Because the first year, Kevin Love was out. Then last year, Curry was injured.
Yeah, Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving were out the first time. Irving was on the second or third game. But this one, another thing too that I think has gotten lost in all of this. Yes, the Warriors were definitely the better team, but they were also on a mission after losing that 3-1 lead last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like they just showed up and said, okay, I guess we're going to have to win this title. I mean, they really wanted this thing. And a lot of people are talking about if the Cavs hadn't lost game 2 or 3 the way they did, because they basically had it won, and then it just, like in a blink of an eye, the Warriors had the lead and the clock ran out. And maybe it makes a difference. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a little easier to go into it with the mindset of we're tied at 2 instead of down 3-1. I'm sure it does. But like Mike said, what if yourself right into not knowing a damn thing? And I guess going to go with the argument that the Warriors are the better team. As far as LeBron's legacy goes, I think it's fine. And I'm like you last week, Zach. I have no fucking idea what the point is I'm trying to make.
The only... I just hope that this Warriors team falls apart sooner than later, just for the sake of keeping things interesting. Like I know Zach said they got 2 to 3 years to go with this current setup, and that's fine. But I just hope it falls apart sooner. Like, they all start hating each other in the next 2 years, or just Lim eating themselves alive.
To their credit, the whole chemistry thing didn't seem to be a problem with adding Durant to that roster this year, which we thought could have been,
but I guess Durant actually fit in much better than anybody could have anticipated.
Yeah,
I guess
exactly what we wanted to hear.
Yeah, I don't know,
but it's the NBA.
It's amazing how fast this happened, though.
Yeah,
like Warriors won the first time. It was like, the NBA is opening up. Maybe there's more opportunities for so many more teams. When they win it the first time, it gives some of these other teams, well, maybe we could be the Golden State Warriors. And then just 2 years later, the Warriors have become the exact thing that a lot of people hate about the NBA.
Uh-huh.
And if anything, the league is worse than ever, worse off than ever when it comes to competitive parity. It's just,
I think someone said it best in the CCSLC thread about the NBA, which is like the reason that people kind of took the Durant thing hard was because he nuked the power balance of the West.
Yeah.
He went from a team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, that were within one game last season of knocking off the Warriors. And so, you know, maybe, you know, player for player, they're not as good as the Warriors, but together, like as a team, they were certainly able to beat them. And then he left them instead of even going somewhere else where he could maybe have propped up another team. Suddenly he's.
Yeah.
Suddenly he just goes to the Warriors, and then the power balance that sort of existed between the Thunder and the Warriors is completely gone. And the Warriors they went undefeated until they got to the finals. Like they won all of their games in their Western Conference playoffs. They were that much better than everyone else.
Well, like Zach said, if the Cavs hadn't activated all the cheat codes, I don't know that the Warriors don't go undefeated all the way through the playoffs. The Cavs, in the one game they won, played one of the most amazing games of basketball I've ever seen. But they hit like 83 pointers. I mean, of course, it wasn't that many, but it was a lot. You had guys just going off left and right. I think Irving had 30-some points. I want to say Love put big numbers up, LeBron. It was just one of those games where everything that could go right did go right. And that was the only thing that really went right for the Cavs the whole series, and they needed to do that 3 more times. And I'm sorry, but you're not going to get the cheat codes 3 times in a row like that. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And here we are. But it always works itself out, and it will, I hope, at some point again. I think... Like Mike, yeah, I hope it's not up sooner than later, but huh?
Eventually players get old and they cycle through, and it will eventually get fixed. But you know, like Mike said, with the power balance sort of thing, it's always been like that for years in the NBA, where one conference was always pretty bad, except for one team, two teams, and then another conference was just impossibly stacked, and it always flip flopped. It's just that now you don't have. The West used to be the stacked conference. And really, if you looked at the teams that made the playoffs, they still were a better conference overall in the East.
It's just, I don't know. That Jazz team was pretty goddamn dire.
Well, yeah, but the Spurs aren't bad. They were helped by the injury to Kawhi Leonard and all that, but Spurs aren't bad. The Rockets really aren't that bad either. Just the Warriors are so much better than the good teams.
See, like the Rockets would be a neat place for what's his name from Indiana to show up. That could really make that team interesting.
Yeah. It's a salary cap thing. And as I'm scrolling through other stuff, not only is Paul George linked to the Cavaliers, but I guess Jimmy Butler of the Bulls is the Cavaliers are trying to make a trade package for the Bulls to give up Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
So, you know, the rich get richer.
Well, speaking of the Bulls, what I mean, they were 3 years ago, they were a pick to represent the East. They're in the East, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And with Derrick Rose, and they had Joaquin Noah and all those guys, and they were really good. And wow, that just a really fast closing window. I forget who we talked about a couple weeks ago where their window opened and closed so quickly that if you blinked, you missed it. But they were another team that had the same thing happen. They were there, then they weren't. And I don't know. The NBA, you know, we've beat it to death at this point, but it's just not terribly interesting. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, it's their own fault. It's just the system. And we mentioned this before, but somebody else brought it up in the thread too, that it's just become the Premier League of basketball.
Yeah.
With the soccer Premier League in England, this last year there was at most maybe three teams that were legitimately capable of winning a title. And then there's a middle ground. And then there's the bottom. With soccer, there's things to care about if you're at the bottom or if you're in the middle trying to survive or get to a second.
Yeah, you don't want to be relegated.
Right. In the NBA, there isn't any of that. Like, if you're at the bottom, I guess you want the number one pick. But that, you know, you don't want – that's different than trying to get your team to win to not be at the bottom. This is – you want your team to keep losing to be at the bottom.
They should have relegation and promotion in the NBA and use the NBA G League as
the
other league.
I don't know about that, but what I think is an interesting idea, they would never ever do it, is because we see like the lack of power balance and that there's probably too many teams. Mm-hmm. If you split the league into like a 15 team upper division and a 15 team lower division, and then all the better players, of course, are going to want to play in the upper division. And that's kind of how it works in soccer around the world, too, where the best players always go to the best teams. That's just how it is. But that would give it would make the top league insanely more competitive, because that's where you wouldn't be focusing the top players on a couple teams. You'd be able to spread them out over at least five or six, probably. And then the bottom division is playing for something. They're trying to get to the next level and be a relevant team again. So,
yeah, it's a good idea, but you're right.
It just would never happen.
It would never happen, no.
Yeah. You're never going to get a group of owners to say, yeah, sure, we'll relegate ourselves to second-tier status. Like, no, they would never, ever do it.
No.
And that's why that system also doesn't work in American soccer, because we built it up the same way that we built up every other professional league here, where it's – everything's professional. You put a lot of money into it, and you're not going to accept being second rate.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I don't think promotion and regulation would fly in the UK, other than the fact that that's just the way it's always been. So,
oh yeah,
right. That's not, one of those things that
can be put in now.
If you proposed that today, no one would go for it.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were talking a minute ago, Mike, you brought up the '70s with the random teams here and there, and I was thinking about it. I think that's the only decade where that ever actually happened, where you really didn't have a truly dominant team throughout that decade that I can think of. You had the Knicks won a couple early. The Warriors got their first title, I want to say, in 74. You had the Sonics got a title there.
Blazers had one.
The Bullets got one.
Bucks got two.
Bucks got one.
Oh, one. Okay.
Can you imagine that, though? The Milwaukee Bucks actually won a world championship, but that was when they had Kareem. You were talking about a stacked team, man. That team was really good, too. It wasn't just Kareem. They had Oscar Robertson. Bobby Dandridge was a really good player. They had a good supporting cast. But that's the only decade I can think of in NBA history. I don't know anything about the 50s NBA. I don't think anybody does.
The 50s is the Celtics winning 9 in a row.
Well, the 60s, they won like 9 out of 11 or whatever. But other than the 70s is the only decade where you really saw any kind of real competitive balance. In the 90s, it was Jordan. In the 80s, it was the Celtics and the Lakers. I don't know, maybe the 2000s. Talk about not following the league. I was way off the reservation.
Yeah, the Lakers and Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of an age-old problem with this league. They got it right in the 70s, but the problem with that was that everybody was coked out and nobody was showing up to watch games, and finals games were tape delayed and all the other things that went along with it.
And the best part is the guy that Calgary traded to Phoenix is actually going to be a free agent on July 1st. And he's not expected to sign with the Coyotes. And he may just go right back to Calgary to be their backup. One of the reasons that the Coyotes even traded for the guy was because they needed a goalie to protect on the roster. And they didn't want it to be Mike Smith.
This team is just, not that, if it's spending to like the cap limit, I mean the cap floor, like, and this team doesn't even have a long-term deal in place to stay in Arizona. Everything just seems like it's just running out the clock.
Who is their number one goalie in Arizona?
Well, it was Mike Smith. And now the job falls to a young man named Louis Domingue.
That's a made up name.
I thought I read where the Yotes are still going to be in the market for another goalie.
I tell you what, I was reading an article today about the Vegas Golden Knights of Nevada.
Yeah.
They've got a pretty good situation right now with this whole expansion draft and the way it's set up. They could really, they could be decently competitive right now, or they could make some moves and really set the foundation for a good team in, say, 4 or 5 years, because they hold all the cards in this thing, basically.
Well, and here's what I'm most interested by with them. It's that they're going to make some of these picks, but they've also said openly that, hey, we're going to give every NHL team the opportunity to make a deal with us,
right,
so that we won't pick a certain guy.
Right.
And that's kind of their whole MO. So what I kind of expect them to do is they're going to draft a bunch of people on Wednesday, and they're going to form their quote unquote inaugural roster. I'm curious to see how many of those guys they end up picking on Wednesday actually skate in a game for Vegas when the time comes to it, because I have a feeling that they're going to draft certain guys specifically to trade them elsewhere.
Absolutely.
And stockpile on picks and prospects and build the base of that franchise.
They already have, I guess, a deal in place with the Blue Jackets for, I can't think of, there's three players that they've kind of swung a handshake deal with the Vegas Golden Knights of Nevada.
Same with the Ducks. Ducks supposedly have a deal in place for them to not pick Josh Manson and maybe Sammy Vatanen. Like, if the deal is good enough, they won't pick either of them, and they'll pick somebody that we need, like, off our salary cap.
I want to say with the Jackets that one of the players is Seth Jones. I know the other one's Jack Johnson, and I can't remember the third guy, but
it's Jack Johnson. I know Seth Jones is protected.
Oh, is he? Okay, not Seth Jones then. But anyway, they've got a deal set up where three people, we will give you these picks or whatever so that you leave these three guys alone. And that's what I mean. Vegas has just got the whole league right where they want it, sort of, because if they're smart, and by all accounts, it looks like they might actually try to be smart, you load up on picks and stuff and build prospects. I mean, sure, you could be good enough next year to maybe not lose 60 games or whatever, but you're not going to go anywhere, and it's not a long-term solution. But if they do this right, they can really set themselves up nice to become pretty competitive quickly, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, they're going to probably draft maybe four goalies. They only need two.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of teams that could use a goalie. Like we're just talking about the Flames. They needed goaltending help, but I don't think Mike Smith is goaltending help. No. He is another goaltender.
Hey, he's a guy. He knows how to skate. He can put the pads on and stand in front of the net.
Yeah,
He can certainly do those things.
He fits the basic criteria for being a goalie.
Yeah,
Mike could do allegedly. Those same things too. Our Mike could do those same things, and I don't know that the results would be that much different, really.
I mean, I can flop around like I was just shot in the back of the head, you know, with the slightest time. I could do that.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see
I can slash at, you know, opposing teams, you know, forwards, legs. I can do that too. So
sure,
that's like two out of five of his big moves right there.
It's going to be interesting to see how Vegas handles this, because they're in an interesting spot. They are. Yeah. It could be interesting.
Yeah, they could either make the move of picking up guys that are actually good, you know, to try and be a competitive team right out the gate, or get guys to specifically trade them and build the franchise. And really, I think the second option's the better one.
Absolutely.
Like, in Vegas, yeah, you probably want to have a team that's going to come out and make a splash and get people in there. That's for sure. But I think, you know, in terms of trying to be a competitive franchise, all in all, you have nothing. Like, there are currently two guys that have contracts with the Vegas Golden Knights. Two. And two of them, they probably won't even play in the NHL this year, but they have two guys. And so you're like, you look at all these teams that have been together for as many years as they have now, and they have years of draft picks and relationships with their minor league teams and building these guys up through systems, and Vegas has zero of that. So I think you want to do the right thing and build like an actual hockey franchise.
The Coyotes kind of are a cautionary tale for Vegas, because like people forget this, but the Coyotes made the playoffs like what, 5 of their first 6 years in Arizona?
Yeah, like, it's different, and then they brought the Winnipeg Jets that were competitive at the time. So
they did that. But my point is that they had a team that was quote unquote ready to win now, right out the gate, and it got them into the playoffs for a few years. But they never really built anything long term, and then the team floundered, and attendance dropped off, and here they are. So. If you're Las Vegas, it makes sense. Do what you need to do to build up a farm system and to stockpile picks and to build a team for the long term, because you can put together a hell of a team right now. That's putting together a good team that can win right now is not a guarantee for a cup. And if you're a consistent playoff contender for the next 5 years, but you're always losing in the first or second round, and then once that core is done with, you're left with nothing. That's not a good place to be if you're in a, let's call it a work in progress market. Then you're not going to have anything to hold on to. So if you build towards the future, maybe you don't have those instant playoff appearances right out of the gate, but come say 7 years from now, you're probably in a better position to build the fan base than you would be otherwise. Well,
they're not going to expansion draft their way to serious cup contention this year. What they're looking at, I'm guessing here, but probably best case scenario, if they go for being good right now, you make the playoffs maybe, and you go out in the first round unless you pull off an upset type of thing, and that's probably about as good as it's going to get. Whereas if you build the foundation, which everything I've read, it sounds like the GM is leaning heavily towards, we're going to build the foundation and not go for the quick, easy wins right now.
Yeah. I think the thing that, when it comes to cautionary tales or just like things that you could expect from them, like at best, they pick a team that's semi-competitive, and like the Florida Panthers made the Stanley Cup final in their third year of existence.
Yeah.
With Rob Niedermeyer and Ed Jovanovski and
John Van Beesbrook.
Yeah.
Van Beesbrook.
The Mighty Ducks in their first year. I think they had one of the more successful inaugural seasons of all time. They didn't make the playoffs, but they were not bad, but they were decent. But they also got a guy, they also went out to show you how the early 90s was just a different time. They went out and they specifically got a very rough and tumble type team where they would fight anybody and everybody.
Truculence.
And so that was it made them entertaining at the very least. And then they set up, but they also, the Ducks did a very good job of setting the franchise up eventually. It took a few years, but they did well drafting and doing some trades, and over time they finally built themselves up to what happened in. They made the playoffs a couple times, and then in 2003 they made the big long run, and now they're a mainstay team in the league. They're fine.
In 1993-1994, they were 33-46-5, 71 points.
Is that their inaugural season?
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Yeah. Not bad for a team that was made out of scrap.
229 goals for, 251 goals against.
Yeah, see, that's not terrible.
Yeah, I think that's for your first year around. That's not bad. You can't go into it thinking you're gonna. I think that an expansion team, first and foremost, either way, you've got to be entertaining on some level. either, like, look at these kids fight. They always lose 3-1, but, man, they play hard. Or look at these guys fight literally like the Ducks did, and, boy, that's fun. Slap shot, that kind of stuff.
They were number 9 in the West, so they were right there on the line there. So
right, yeah. They were right there. But see, that's where the strategy is a little tricky for Vegas, because if they do flip everybody and just get draft picks and whatnot and build the franchise, very good. That's a good plan to have. But what if the team is hot garbage? What if the team is just like as bad as it could possibly be? Because if they do that, they're not going to be very good. Like, they're just not going to be competitive.
No.
But if they keep the team together, maybe they can
finish
like 12th or something.
There's also the fact that the owner is kind of a bullheaded, I'm going to be very involved type of owner.
That was the vibe I got reading some of these articles.
That's
the vibe we got early on, but I haven't heard him do anything in recent months. It's all been the GM.
The big concern, though, I have is that if the GM wants to go for the slow burn and the owner starts getting antsy, like, why aren't we winning right now? And then he kind of just cleans house and scuttles the whole thing before it has a chance to mature, then things could go downward.
When we had the bicentennial in 1976, every shirt that you could find looked like this. Everything was red, white, and blue with stars on it. This is straight out of 1976, this soccer kit shirt, whatever you call it.
Yeah, both of those terms were right.
It's goofy. Although I do like the patch. The USA patch, I think, is nice.
Yeah, that's their new logo that they introduced.
They finally got rid of that stupid one that got the colors mixed up.
Yeah. The colors backwards on the flag and the dumb soccer ball. And now we look like a respectable soccer federation.
That still isn't the most American jersey of all time, though.
Well, let's see it. I know you've got one on hand here.
Is it the Alexi Lawless one?
I don't know what that name is, but
the ones from the 94 World Cup.
I was going to say that has to be from the 90s, that look.
Yeah. 94 World Cup.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's just American.
I'm gonna tell you, Mike, I think the new ones are more American than those. That's
really
these are the new ones are just scream America. I mean, everything about this is so American. It's completely tacky. It was probably a good idea somewhere along the way that got completely screwed up by
you're gonna
people
go up
you're had no go business getting involved.
Oh, yeah. Now when has that ever happened?
I don't know, every day.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of uniforms and football, I thought we could talk about this a little bit. Seems the new Rams uniforms aren't going over so well with the fans there, Zach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
Oh, geez, I don't know. Maybe because it looks like shit.
Because you're trying to take three different uniforms and make it into one? Oh, dude, it's terrible. And you know how much I love the blue and whites. It's awful.
It's
when you're any sort of reasonable distance from it, like, you know, where you can like see it
10 miles.
Well, from afar, it's not that bad because you don't really see the gold. But as soon as you get within like 10 feet of the dumb thing, it's like, oh, this is stupid. Like everything else is white and blue except for these dumb gold accents on the body. It's just awful.
I get what they were trying to do by dumping the gold out because you don't want any association with St. Louis, but geez, I think I would have rather just had them stick with the St. Louis look until they could change and do it the right way.
Yeah,
this is awful. And the pant stripe, did we really vote for the one huge pant stripe?
That's the one you told me you voted for.
No, I voted for two. I voted for the two stripes.
I'm pretty sure you told...
I voted for the one you voted for. Which one did you vote for? Mike?
I think I voted for the two.
Yeah, we voted for the same one, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I voted for the two stripe.
I think we all did.
I voted two stripe and white face mask.
I think a blue face mask would help us a great deal.
I don't know. I think it would make the helmet look like...
I don't know what you do with this. It's just garbage.
The individual elements aren't bad. The helmet looks really, really good. Just not when you put it on the rest of the football player.
Yeah.
It's
I love
not...
the helmet. And you guys, like I said, you know how much I love the blue and whites, but this has just got to be stopped. Can't the NFL, I know they've got all these ridiculous rules and stuff, but can't you just this one time make an allowance and go, okay, Rams, we're going to let you dump the rest of the gold. Just this one time, because for fuck's sake, this just looks so bad. They're half pregnant or something.
But they're not going to do that.
No, I know. I know.
Personally, I don't know if the Rams would do it either. The Rams want to hold off until...
I'm not saying, that's what I'm saying, though. They don't have to come out with the new uniforms now. Just let them dump the rest of the gold and keep this look.
Although, the thing is, with the stadium got pushed back a year in terms of its completion because of all the record rainfall we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're going to have that, then, by the way.
Hmm?
We would have thought that something in California would have been delayed due to rainfall.
Well, Mike, if you remember last year about this time, you and I solved the rainfall crisis while Zach was on a break, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly.
See,
did they use our idea?
I don't know. I don't remember what our idea was, but it seemed to have worked.
It's a great thing to have. Trust me. It was nice seeing some grass.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Yeah, some green grass. But... with the stadium being pushed back a year, does that mean that they're going to wait an extra year to get new jerseys?
Yep. That's exactly what it means.
Oh, God. That's bad, though.
You're looking at these for 3 years now.
I don't see why they need to pair the new uniforms with a stadium, with the new stadium.
I don't either.
And personally, because when they go to the new stadium, they're probably going to be playing under the dome most of the time anyway. Well, no, it's not even going to be a retractable roof. It's going to be like a dome with open sides or whatever.
Like Dallas kind of used to be with the...
Sort of, kind of.
Why would you need a domed stadium in Los Angeles?
Because they want to host Final Fours and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
But that's what I mean. Like, in 3 years or whatever, when you get into the new stadium, I don't know how the sunlight's going to play there, but... you know for sure playing in the Coliseum, you're going to have nice, gorgeous sunlight most of the time. And you're going to be – and you look – these Rams uniforms, for all their faults, do look so much better outside than they ever did in the drab confines of the Edward Jones Dome.
Yep.
What does Keith Oberman refer to those domes as? Oversized gulag punishment cells?
Well, like we make fun of Tropicana Field for being a Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Louis one was just like – just full of despair.
I never could understand why they couldn't put a few more lights in St. Louis. That place was, of all the domes in the NFL, that one was, that had Tropicana Field vibe like no other. It was just so dreary looking. I mean, even when they were good and they would put good crowds in there, it still looked awful. And then when they were going towards the end of the time there in St. Louis and 13,000 people were showing up in that dingy, horribly lit stadium, it was just as depressing as anything you're going to see. I don't understand. Yeah.
I don't know how receptive any of us really were to the blue and white as it was. But once they made it clear that this is what we're going to do, you know, whether you want us to or not, it's like, okay, fine. These are our best. This is what we think are the best options. And who knows, you know, if the votes really mattered at the end of the day. But
it's a disaster. I'm so disappointed. This is really the only. I'm not going to get the blue and whites as a full time look when they do finally make the switch. We all know they're going to go back to the blue and gold, which is fine. It's a fantastic look too.
Well, especially now, like if this is how they're going to half ass the blue and white, nobody's going to want blue and white when the time comes.
No, they've ruined.
When the time comes, we're all going to say this has been bad. Give us the yellow, please.
They ruined it specifically to piss me off. I'm positive of it. I was too vocal of a proponent of the blue and white, and now I'm paying the price. The great innovators of our time, this is what always happens. Some guy will come along behind me and look great, but I'm going to get punished for this. Anyway, and one last thing on uniforms. Can we, for the love of God, please, Major League Baseball, never do these stupid blue uniforms ever again. I watched games over the weekend. I couldn't tell who the hell was who. They all looked exactly alike.
The Father's Day one?
Yes.
I had that same complaint over Memorial Day. Like, at least the Father's Day ones, at least I like that color.
Yeah.
The one for Memorial Day, I legitimately couldn't tell who was who. Like,
do you hate America, Zach? Is that what it is?
No, it's just like I remember I was out to lunch at a restaurant, and there was a game on, and I couldn't see the score bug, and I legitimately had no idea who was playing until, like, you know, a ball got out to the outfield and I could tell what stadium it was. I had no idea who it was. Not a slight clue.
I will tell you how bad it was for me. Last night, the Astros and the Red Sox were on Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah.
And I was a good distance from my TV, and I couldn't tell who was who. A Red Sox player hit a home run, I think, and I went, yeah! I mean, it was so confusing, I actually rooted for the Red Sox by accident. And that just is unacceptable to me. I can't ever have that happen again. But they just didn't. God bless the Giants, though, for saying, fuck you, we're going to stick with our orange on the front. That cracked me up.
I think something I also saw was on Instagram. I was scrolling through, and I followed MLB on there. And there was a player for the Rays that hit a home run on Father's Day and also hit a home run on Mother's Day. And so they put the clips side by side of him hitting it. And in one, he's in full pink. And the other one, he's in full light blue. And that, like, it was looking at that comparison where I just said, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. This is literally the dumbest thing uniform-wise in baseball I've ever seen.
Well, wow. Maybe.
It's getting close to minor league levels of this nonsense.
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of that, let's not forget that we have the Players Weekend coming up here soon, where the players will get to have some input on what's on the back of their uniforms. So we might.
Oh, they're doing the XFL thing, right?
Yeah. So that nothing can go wrong with that, right?
No.
Well,
plenty.
Yeah. So that ought to be fun. But yeah, the Blues got to go. I couldn't tell who was who, and you guys know I watch a lot of baseball, and I watched the same Blue team play, I don't know, 8 different games over the weekend.
In general, baseball's gone a bit too NBA with their alternate jerseys, and they need to calm it down.
They really need to back away from all these specialty weekend bullshit stuff. Come on.
Yeah, well, because it's not even the NBA where teams just made a bunch of different alternate jerseys, and they all look different. But this is like everybody looks the same.
Uh-huh.
It's like. Yeah, okay, we joked that we couldn't tell what team was playing in the NBA because it was just all these different jerseys we'd never seen before. But at least, like,
It wasn't because they looked exactly alike. It's because you just didn't know who they were.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, they've expanded it. Like, in the past, the Mother's Day or Father's Day uniforms were just on that Sunday that it actually was. And now they've extended it to that whole series that goes over that weekend. And it's just bad.
Yeah.
It's just so very bad. And it's not infrequent now too. It just happens too much.
Yes. Well, that's any sport, but baseball seems to be particularly good at catching up to the trend way later than everybody else and then screwing it up way better than anybody else could. So good for them, I guess.
Yeah.
But now, at least I'm watching the Marlins and the Nationals, and they're in their correct uniforms, which is good, and I'm happy now. But that blue and blue stuff just had to go. I couldn't take it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hit the dead zone soon, aren't we?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Should we'll we put right. out?
We've made it. We made it 5 years.
Should we put out another Ask Us Anything?
I was thinking about that. Is this the time of year we usually do that?
I think, don't we usually do it All-Star break?
Yeah, which is only a couple weeks off, yeah.
Is it?
Jesus. Yep. Yeah.
This is what I get for not paying attention to the first, like, 3 months of baseball. And it's like, oh, the All-Star game's here. Oh,
well,
I generally don't give a shit until the All-Star break's over. Because who the hell can care about that much baseball at once?
Well, it's like, when I do turn into the All-Star game, it's like, oh, he's an All-Star? This guy?
I don't give a damn about the All-Star game. I couldn't care less about it.
Yes, but you're also very particular about All-Star voting.
Oh, I am. You vote one time, and that's it. None of this. It makes me so mad. I was watching the Reds the other night, and they were talking about Zach Cozart's trailing so-and-so in the shortstop race. You guys need to pick up the pace. It's like, no, they don't. If he deserves it, you vote for him. If he doesn't, then you don't. I don't care who he plays for.
And you don't like it when everyone just votes for everyone from their favorite team?
No, of course not.
12-year-old Mike definitely just voted for all the Blue Jays players he saw on the ballot.
Well, what year would that have been?
Young me voted for all those terrible periwinkle-wearing Angels.
Oh.
12-year-old let's see, how old was... Okay, I was 10 in 97,
so that would have been...
99.
Oh, that, so you weren't voting for the Joe Carter teams.
No.
Because that would have been legitimate. I would have said, okay,
I was voting for the dog shit of dog shit Blue Jays teams.
I remember voting for Mo Vaughn as an Angel the couple of years he was here.
Were the periwinkles the first uniforms that you remember with the Angels, Zach?
No, I do remember the California Angels, the ones right before.
I think that's still like their best look. Those were so awesome.
The earliest Jays uniforms I remember would be the ones right before the big change, which were basically the World Series era look, but they added the blue alternate, which all in all was pretty inoffensive. Which I'm thankful for that my first real memories of the Blue Jays weren't in the 90s look with the giant, like, thick teal outlines on everything. That was just
man
bad.
I'm trying to think back. The Indians have changed uniforms so many times in my life.
Remember when they outlined everything in silver?
Yeah, I have a road jersey with the silver outlines on it. My first game, they wore pinstripes with a drop shadow on the lettering, I believe. And
when did the Indians ever wear pinstripes?
Early 70s, I want to say. They had these pinstripe home uniforms. Might have only been a season or two at most. Anything else?
No.
Okay, anyway, so with that, we're going to call it a night, and we will see you next time right here on Basically a Sports Show.
Go Jays, go! Toronto!